Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank God for another opportunity that God has given to us to come back and to worship Him as a church family. You know, the past few weeks, if you realize, we have been looking some of the people that Jesus met along His way. And I think one of the reasons that, you know, we wanted to do that because we were actually reflecting on the Lent season, reflecting on our spiritual journey, and the things that actually we can learn from Christ, you know, the people that He met along the way. And it's important for us as we hear His word, as we reflect upon God's word, asking God to help us. And it's a joy to see you once again. Let's start and let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. It's a beautiful day that we can enjoy. And Father, as we see outside, we see your grace and we see your greatness, O God. Lord, even today as we spend some time listening to your word, Father, we pray, Lord, that we want to hear you. We want you, Lord, to speak to us. We want you, Lord, to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think the passage that I've taken today is a very familiar passage. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 10, it starts from verse 38 onwards to 42. It's a passage that speaks about two sisters, different characters. You know, one is seen more of an activist, trying to do a lot of things. And the other one is more of a silent person, more sitting at the feet of Jesus and trying to listen. I think all of us are very familiar, and Jesus is there in this house. He's been invited together with the disciples, and he's there. And Martha is busy cooking, right? And busy eating, or busy cooking, tasting the food, making sure, you know, the dishes that she's making, you know, will really be making Jesus and the disciples happy. Whereas the passage is also clear that, you know, Mary is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, just listening, enjoying his presence, listening to the words that Jesus have to say. Martha is frustrated because she's doing all the thing by herself. Can you imagine feeding 13 guys? Probably they are very hungry, just waiting. Nice food is coming and they're just waiting, and she's just busy cooking by herself. And she's frustrated. I think we know the story pretty well, and she's almost like barking, right? And she's talking to Jesus. Why don't you tell her? Tell my sister to help me. And Jesus replies by saying, you know, Mary has chosen, you know, the best portion. And that's the word today. And if you look at it, you know, Jesus is saying, using this word, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. I think if I ask you today, what is one thing that is needful in your life? We have passed 2 months. January is gone. February is gone. We are stepping into a new month, right? And we are here to take communion. What is that one thing that you want to do again? Or in other words, you know, I've tried for the past 2 months. I've not done it, but, you know, this third month, I am going to do that one thing. What would be that one thing? Anyone? Finish your courses. That's one. That's more than one thing, I think. Yes, we need to finish the courses. What is the one thing, you know, you want to do in your life? You know, I've been trying for the past 2 months. You know, I think I need to reprioritize my life. You know, what would be the one thing? Anyone? I know some of you are smiling. You want to say something, and I know, you know, should I just keep quiet, be like Mary, just sitting down and just listening? You know, maybe to students, you know, what would be the one thing you would say, you know, I should probably give more time for my study, right? And maybe to people who are working, you will say, maybe the one thing I should do, you know, start going to work early, right? Or if not, you know, I should finish the task before I come back home. And so some people have different one things. You know, we want to do this one particular thing. Now, it tells us, you know, that it's important for us to reprioritize our life, because sometimes that one thing is very important for us. Right? There is a difference between urgent and important. Right? We do a lot of things because it comes along our path. But what is that one thing that needs to be done? And I think that's a passage that actually speaks to us about the one thing that is important for us. And when I look at this particular passage, it's a passage that is actually sandwiched between the parable of the Good Samaritan and Jesus' teaching about prayer. And when I look at it, I see, you know, Jesus is calling for a very balanced life. Because if you look at the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan is involved. He's doing a lot of good deeds. He's helping the person who's wounded. Whereas if you look at in chapter 11, you know, it speaks about prayer. And so Jesus is saying that we need to have a balance. It's important for us to be involved in deeds, in ministry, in activities that is related to God. At the same time, it is important for us to have a good Christian life, in the sense, I think, worshiping God, being still in the presence of Christ. And that's why if you look at the passage, it is actually sandwiched in between. A couple of things which I'd like to bring with you today. And so what is the one thing that is important in our lives? I think many of you would be praying, you know, I want to do one thing. And let me just share with you from this particular passage, from the lives of those two sisters, what is that one thing that is important in our lives? So I'm going to categorize into three things. The good that we need to do, the better we ought to do, and the best, you know, we have to do. So the good, the better, and the best. I think there is always a progress. And the first thing, if you realize, in this particular passage, the good, I hope, okay, the good, looking at the life of Martha, what is happening? You know, Martha is, you know, Jesus is inviting in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman by the name of Martha opened her door to him. She was so excited, and the Greek word here, you know, she opened the door, it means she was excited, she was very friendly. She said, come, please come, I'm just waiting for you to come. And that's the way it is mentioned in the original text. She opened the door, and you know, and she opened the door for Jesus and the disciples, and they came. And Martha was busy cooking for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I look at Martha, you know, I see a heart of serving, right? Whenever you look at Martha, many times when many people will say, you know, Martha is not the right person. Martha is always doing this. Oh, this is not right. But if you realize, if you look at the passage very carefully, Jesus did not say, Martha, what you're doing is wrong. Jesus did not ever utter a word like that. But many times we hear people preach by saying, we shouldn't be like Martha. We shouldn't be like her. Because she's always found serving, involved, doing. But she's not listening. But in no way you realize from this particular passage, Jesus is talking about not being involved in ministry, not doing the things that needs to be done. But Jesus is, if you look at the passage, he's actually encouraging us to be involved in ministry, because as I told you, the parable of the Good Samaritan, he's involved in a good deed. He's reaching out to a stranger, to a wounded person along the path. It was not his business, but he's there because he wants to help that particular person. So I think when we look at this passage, we see the heart of serving. The heart of serving, I think God wants us to be involved in serving, right? I think that is the good that every Christian ought to do, because if you look at the passages very carefully, you know, God wants us to be involved in some kind of ministry. And Martha is involved in the heart of serving. Firstly, if I see, you know, Martha is serving inside. She's serving a family. You know, many times we see, we are always serving outside, right? We want to be involved in the lives of others. What about inside? When I look at this passage, it tells me, like Martha opened her house, her home. And I was trying to look into, you know, scholarship to find out about her life. And according to many scholars, no, she was a widow. She was a widow, and she was the owner of the house. And so the entire a house belonged to her. And what has happened? Whenever you read Martha and Mary, if you realize, you know, the sister Mary and Lazarus is always found in the house of Martha. In other words, it was not only a house, she opened a house for Mary to come and to live with her, for her brother to come and to stay with her. You know, And that was, you know, her heart was always open for her family. She was serving the family, the needs of the family. Wherever you read, three times you will read, the brother is there, the sister is there. And so she was serving her family. She was serving their needs too. Secondly, if you look at it, you know, she was serving outside, right, in challenging situation. What is happening? She's opening the door to Jesus and the disciples. 13 hungry men who are coming, they wanted to eat something, and she's opening the door. Yeah, there was another two more situations. You will see that she opened the door. Her door was always open for others. Another thing which I also see in this particular passage, you know, when I see she was serving outside, as I told you earlier, she was a widow. Can you imagine? She could have said, you know, my situation doesn't allow me to serve. You know, my situation, the thing that has happened in my life, you know, I'm a widow. I'm not acceptable in the society, right? I've lost my loved one. But even her difficult situation or a challenging situation did not stop her from serving the needs of Jesus and the disciples, serving the needs of others. You know, I think that's one of the things that I learned from Martha. Not only she was opening her door to a sister and a brother, meeting the needs of a family, but she was also meeting the needs of others, even though, you know, she was a widow. She was not accepted in the society. It was a very challenging moment. You know, many times in our Christian life, we have excuses. We say, you know, I am not able to do this. I'm not saying about we are not able to do because of our short limitations and all that. But, you know, but here in an adverse situation, she's a widow, and, you know, widows are not seen. You know, widows, you know, you're not supposed, you need to help them. But she's helping others. Can you see here? She's helping others. And I think that's the heart of serving. She's serving her family. She's serving the needs of others, even though it is a very challenging moment for her. And Jesus did not say, Martha, you're doing the wrong thing. And so, my friends, I think serving is important, right? Serving is very important in the ministry of our lives. But something happens when we are serving. You know, either we can be frustrated or ministry can be fulfilling. And I know all of us are involved in some kind of ministry, right? Even many ministries, all of us are involved in some kind of ministry, ministry at home or ministry in the church or ministry in the place that we are here, wherever we are. Either we can be frustrated. You know, I've in my ministry, I've seen people coming and saying, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm frustrated. You know, it's time to throw the towel, right? I cannot. And I've seen even pastors leaving the ministry. There's a lot of frustration that happens. Ministry also at the same time can bring a lot of fulfillment. You know, frustration, we look at the life of Mary, you know, she was distracted with many things. In other words, in the word distracted means she was pulled apart in many areas. You know, she was doing this, she was doing that, she was running here. What is involved? You know, she should have said, you know, let me do this. Whatever it's, you know, it's around my ability. You know, this is what I can do. This is my strength. And this is the gift that God has given to me. Right? Sometimes in our culture, we don't want to say no. Whenever people approach us, it's always yes. We don't want to say no, right? Because no is not a good word. But I think the passage tells us, you know, that sometimes we need to say no if it is not what God has actually given to you in terms of ability, in terms of the talent that God has given to you. And she is distracted. And I think we need to ask even ourselves too when we're involved in things, if she has too much on the plate, right? Not only we are thinly spread, but I think it can bring about a lot of frustration because we are everywhere. Right? We do not know what to do. But if we know for sure this is what God has called me to do, and this is the two areas or the three areas, and the Lord is there, and I know this is what God wants me to be involved, but not to be everywhere, right? I think that was a problem in Martha's life that brought a lot of frustration. Secondly, if you look at it, you know, one of the frustration in ministry when we become judgmental. What was happening? She was looking at the sister, And she could have actually called Mary and said, you know, Mary, come and help me. But then she looked at Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. She could have easily said, Mary, come to the kitchen. I need you. But she's instructing Jesus by saying, right, tell her to help me. I think when we start looking at others, I think that's one of the things that brings a lot of frustration in our ministry. We tend to see, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. What about others? I think that is the problem here. She was comparing her ministry to the ministry of Mary. She should have said, you know, let me do this because I'm serving the Lord and let me do everything for Jesus. But when we start comparing by saying, you know, this person or that person is doing less or doing more, and you know, why I should do only this particular ministry, not another ministry, I think then we are getting into a lot of problems here. You know, God gives us ministries according to our His call and according to the giftings that God has given to us. That was a problem. Secondly, and you know, thirdly, if you realize what was happening, there's a lot of frustration. The tone here is, you know, talks to us a lot about frustration. She's frustrated. She's saying, don't you care? Come on, why should she talk to Jesus like that? You know, he has come to have a meal. And she's saying, don't you care? As if Jesus was the one who said, you know, Mary come and said, Martha, go to the kitchen. You know, that's the way she's coming across. Don't you care? There's a lot of frustration. And I think, you know, frustration in the ministry starts by distraction, right? Tell yourself, if I'm involved in A ministry and a B ministry, and that is what I want to do, stop there. Don't go beyond. Right? If you go beyond, sometimes it might lead you to a lot of frustration. And start not looking at others. Do the work that God has given you. It might be one ministry or a two ministry. Do what God has given to you. And thirdly, you know, if not, it will lead you to frustration. What was happening? Because of all that, you know, I see there's a lot lost of joy in serving. There was no joy. Can you imagine? I've seen in my ministry a lot of people, they serve without joy, right? There's always complaints. There's always dissatisfaction. They're not happy. They're not happy. There is no joy in the ministry. You know why? Because they're distracted. And so distraction, anger, judgmental frustration results in joy, loss of joy in ministry. And soon or later, you see the person disappearing from loving or fellowshipping with God. That was the problem, I think. But if you look at the fulfillment in terms, when I looked at the fulfillment in the sight of Mary, I think she lost focus. She started off well. Probably she welcomed him and said, Jesus, come. I'm so excited to have you. And then what has happened? I think she could have said, you know, let him be teaching, you know, I'm doing this for Christ. I think if she would have said, you know, I'm doing this for my Lord, He's here, He's in my place. Can you imagine? Jesus have come to my house and let me do the best dishes for Him. But I think she lost focus. Her focus was on the work rather than the Lord. Right? I think that's the thing. When we focus on the work, let me tell you, work can become a burden. But when we focus on the Lord gives us the strength to face the burden or the challenges that the work that brings to us. And secondly, if you look at it, you know, what was happening here, I think fulfillment in ministry is when you focus on Christ, honoring and God-given ministry. You know, in other words, do the thing that God has actually given you. If you know for sure, this is the ministry that God has called me, and I know for sure, and this is what God wants me to do. And this is the gift that God has given to me. And it is going to please God, do that. If not, it will be a wrong fix, my friend. If you go into a ministry which is not what you want, that is not your passion, that is not what God is calling you, Let me tell you, it leads to a lot of frustration. And so when we focus on Christ honoring and God-given ministry, it becomes a joy. We see fulfillment because we know this is what God has given me, and I'm doing and giving back and doing it for God. James 4:12 says, if anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin. Right? And he also says, each one of us should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And that's what Peter is trying to teach us too. And so either we can be frustrated or we can have fulfillment in our ministry. Let me move on. I think the second thing we need to do, you know, not only the good thing that we need to do, the good thing is ministry, but be careful. Be careful whether you can be frustrated or you can have the joy in serving the Lord. Don't get distracted, right? Don't get distracted with too many things. Do the things that God has given to you. And secondly, I think when you look at it, the better thing that we need to do, what is happening here? Mary is sitting in the Lord's presence. I was looking at the word very carefully to see what does it imply. You know, it implies when Mary was sitting, it implies she went immediately. Because if you realize Jesus, wherever Jesus went, Jesus was always teaching and preaching and encouraging people. And so when Jesus came into this house, he started. He was teaching. And so what was happening? Mary went and, you know, started listening to the Lord. It implies longing for him. Let me tell you, you know, when I was looking at this word, in those days, women were not allowed to sit under the feet of a rabbi. And not only that, you know, women were not allowed to learn the Torah because it was seen useless. It was those days' culture. They will never teach the women the Torah. It's useless. They shouldn't. They were seen as instruments in those days, my friend. But what was happening here? You know, she knew the culture pretty well. But even then, she said, no, I want to learn. I am longing for the Savior to come into my house, to dwell in my place, in my sister's place. And so it implies that she was just sitting because I'm just longing to be there in the presence of God, to be found in the company of saints. And secondly, not only she's sitting and longing, you know, that, you know, and she's looking at Christ. And the word sitting also implies not only she was just waiting, you know, for Jesus to speak, but she was looking at Christ. You know, if you look at the other passages, whenever Mary said, you know, she was always looking at Christ, you know, looking, in other words, you know, looking for his guidance, looking for his word, looking for his word of encouragement. Why do we come to church today? Why do we sit at the Lord's, place? In other words, you know, when we read the scriptures, why? Because we want God to speak to us. We want to look to him to help us, to give us the needed guidance for our lives. And it also implies, in the Greek word, it implies loving Christ. In other words, you know, Lord, I love you, and that's why I'm here. I want to sit down at your feet to listen. I think, my friends, I think it is the better thing that needs to be done. It is good to come to church. It's important. It's good for us to read the scriptures. But what is happening here? Jesus is saying another thing, which is very important for us. The good that we ought to do, the better is sitting in his presence. But the best is not just only sitting in the presence of God. Because sometimes we are here, but we are not here. Have you realized? Sometimes we are in the church service, but we are not here. We are here, but not here. So sitting is important. It is good. It is good that we have made the effort of coming, opening the scriptures, reading the scriptures. You know, sometimes have you realized you read, after 10 minutes, you do not know what you read. Right? I do not know what I read. Probably it's like this, right? It's good. But I think we need to move on to the third one. The third one, the best, is submitting to the word. I think that is the best. Sitting is important. What was happening here? You know, she sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. That is important. Not only is she sitting, she was longing for Jesus to speak. You know, I love, Lord, to be in your presence. But I think she's moving on. Or Jesus wants us to move to the next stage. You know, the best is not sitting at the presence of God. It's submitting to God's word, to the teachings of Jesus Christ. She started listening to what he said. I think that is an important thing. And let me finish by saying this. You know, what is happening here, it says, Jesus said, you know, she has taken the best portion. She has chosen the best portion. I was just trying to connect the word between, the Greek word between listening and the best portion. Right? If you look at certain texts, it says best portion or the right part just taken. It says the better, but in the Greek text, it's not the better, it's the best. Right? She has taken the best. And when I was trying to tie it down, it means, the portion means, in the Greek text, you know, what she has done, it's the best gift. When we start listening to God, listening to the words that Jesus, you know, speaks to us, and when we start doing, that is the best gift, my friend. Yes, we come to church, wonderful. We are involved in ministry, praise be to the Lord. But the best gift is doing. And that was what she was trying to do. It's, you know, living a life for Christ is the best gift that we can do or give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was what's happening here. And it also refers to the Lord himself. And so when we do that, you know, Christ becomes our portion. He becomes the gift to us. In a very interesting way, you know, when Duke writes it, he's saying that not only, you know, God accepts that, but, you know, God, we accept God too. And that's why Jesus said, that will not be taken away from her. What she have done is the best gift she has given to me, right? And I've also given myself to her, and that will never be taken away from her. Why? She was not just sitting, which is wonderful. She was not just looking to Jesus, you know, to enjoy the presence of God, enjoy worshiping God, enjoy listening to the teachings of Jesus Christ, but she went beyond, and that's what God wants us. She was listening to what Jesus have to teach, have to say, and she wanted to be found doing. And I think if you realize, she was always found doing. One of the next passages you read, you know, she broke the alabaster oil and she poured and showed her love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And she was there always following and listening to the word. Two great persons have said this. You know, God, you know, in the book Experiencing God, God is far more interested in a love relationship with you than he is with what you can do for him. I think God wants to have a love relationship with us, right? When we love him, when we do things according to God's plan, and what is happening, you know, not only we are giving ourselves to God, but God is actually giving himself to us. God becomes the portion in our life. God doesn't want our success. He wants us, my friend. He wants us. I think that's what, I think God wants us, each and every one of us. And so the good thing one ought to do, serve. But be careful, because you can go into a frustration. Or you can have the joy of serving. There is always a fine line. Secondly, the better thing to do is to sit at the presence of God. Making effort to sit at the presence of God, you know, making effort to come into the fellowship of the church, of the saints. But the best is listening, right? Applying it into our lives. Because when we start doing, that portion will never be taken away from us. Because we are living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share a story with you, or an illustration. I think many of you would have heard in different contexts. It is not an unfamiliar one. It's about a professor who went to the class, and he wanted to teach them about something about math and all that. And so what he did, he took a big jar. I do not know how many of you have heard this illustration. He took a big jar, and then he started placing big rocks into the jar, or stones into the jar. And then he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" And many of them said, "Yes, the jar is full." Then he took gravel underneath the table. He started pouring the gravel into the jar. And then he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" And some did not know what to do. They said, "Yes." Then again he went, took out fine sand, started pouring into the jar. He shook here and there. And then he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" The class did not know what to do because he's doing some kind of tricks here. And some people said, now the class was divided. 50 were saying yes. Some were looking at him, looking around to see whether something is there. Some said no. And finally what he did, he went back. He took water and he started pouring. Then he asked, is the jar full? And they said, yes. And so he asked the class, you know, what is the moral of this illustration or the story? And so some of them said, you know, it's about time management. No, it's about time management. And it's about, you know, how do you prioritize things and all that. And so finally the professor came and said, you know, the moral of the story is putting the big things first, the big priorities first. If you don't put the stones first, but if you fill it with sand, the minute ones, right, you can't put the big things of your life into the jar. And so he said, you know, in life it is important for us to do the big things which God wants us to do, having a loving relationship with Him, family, big things like that, you know, into the thing. The gravel can be our career or, you know, friends and all that. But when you put the sand first, the small thing, there is no place for the big things. So even in our Christian life, I think it is important for us to do what is important. One thing which is important, one thing which is needful. Because if our Christian life is occupied with, you know, secondary things, then there is no place for the primary thing in our life. So what is that one thing which is that you need to put first in this jar? Let's pray. I want you to take a moment to just reflect on your life for some time. I know many of us many of you are students here. And many are working. What is the one thing that God, at least for the past 2 months, I've been asking you to do or to be in? I know the Spirit of God has been nudging you, but probably you have been postponing. What is that one thing? Sometimes, like what the professor has said, we do all of the things which are secondary, but we always tend to postpone that one thing, the important rock, because that gives stability in our lives. Because when our lives are filled with secondary things, then many times we lose focus of putting the primary thing into the jar. you are serving the Lord, how are you today? The Lord looks at our deeds. He admires the work that we are doing. But always be careful, because there is always a fine line between fulfillment and frustration. If you're doing what God wants you to do, there will be joy. It's better to sit at the presence of God, just looking at Him, enjoying reading His Word, just worshiping Him. Wonderful. And it's wonderful to see all of you here today. But when we leave this place throughout this week, are we abiding in the Word? Is the gospel being lived out? Because when we live out, it becomes the best portion for Christ. When we live out a life for Christ, that will not be taken away from us. Because Christ's Word is in us. His Word is strengthening us, living in our lives. How are we outside the church? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. As we prepare ourselves, O Lord, to come and to sup with you, O God, in this Holy Communion, Lord, we pray that you will help us to reflect on our ministry, the ministry that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to look at you, because you have given your entire life for us, O God. You died on the cross for us, because the communion symbols about your death for us. Lord, the communion resembles the hope about your coming. Yes, Lord, when we live a life according to your word, that portion will not be taken away from us, O God. And the Lord will reward us according to our lives that we live in this world. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us in our journey. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.